We are delighted that you have made your way to this place on this day, a very unique day for us, a day that we have just ended celebrating Vacation Bible School. And thus you will notice some of us are all dressed in, with the flat spring shirts on, and you're going to see a small sample of the 80-plus children that were here all week. We averaged 121 this past week in Vacation Bible School, and I am just absolutely delighted for everybody who works so hard. It's always a blessing when you see your church hitting on all cylinders. And this past week, we were hitting on all cylinders as folks were working together. When opportunities to do something we weren't planning on doing, did you like the way I said that? Some people might say a problem would arise, but when something happened we weren't expecting, folks just jumped right in and made their way. I think one of the highlights for me was the dramatic entrance our music minister made one time at the very end of one day of the beginning of our assembly. But in just a little bit, our children will be sharing with us their theme song, and for those of us that have been here this week, that song is deep in our head. It's a wonderful, catchy tune, and I know you'll enjoy it as they share with us in a little bit. 13 left yesterday for Whitley City, Kentucky. They're worshiping even now at Crossroads Baptist Church there in Whitley City. Two more of us, Roger and I, will be leaving immediately following church today, headed to Whitley City to join the team. I hope you'll keep us lifted up in your prayers in a very, very special way. There are other announcements that are in your bulletin. I hope that you will take the time to read them. Our youth will be going in just a couple of weeks to Deep Impact, and we're excited about that opportunity and being involved there. You see the events that are going to take place. Hope you'll be involved in all of those. Are there any announcements that need to come before us at this point? Again, it has been a wonderful week, and if any of our children that were in Vacation Bible School aren't sitting up here when they come up to sing, we want to invite you to come and be a part of that as well. And Stephen will be leading them, I guess, from back there. Is that the plan right now to get that done? Then again, we are delighted that you're here. And now we've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I hope that each time we come to worship, we begin the worship with this prayer: Lord, when I leave today, may I be different. May you say something to me that makes me different, that I might be more like you as I leave this place. Would you take these few moments as our instruments play to prepare your hearts to worship the living God? Thank you. And Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this special Sunday, where we shall spend our thoughts reflecting on the gift of our children and how special they are to us and how special they are to you, we give you thanks. And we pray, O God, that we might hear your words today that remind us that it is childlike faith, not childish, but childlike faith that you demand. And may we make those adjustments in our faith that we might walk closer to you this week. For our prayer is in Christ's name.
And sing number 628, A Servant of the Least. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the many blessings you have done for us and given to us this week. We give thanks for the joy, the strength, and the blessing of family. Please be with our family members that are sharing your love. Please accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How is everyone today? Good, good. Are you all excited to sing? No. Well, I'm excited to hear you. Yeah, come on up if you can't see. Hey, guys. Okay, so I have a question. What do you think is better, more or less? More, less. Okay, we got some mixed answers in there. Okay, so let's talk about it. I've brought some of this. What is this?
Candy.
What's better, more or less?
Less
candy?
Yeah.
That's not my answer. I think more is better. Yeah, you're with me. I think more. Yeah, it's not good for you, but I would rather have more personally. I don't know. I guess that's a good answer. Well, what about time at the pool? Do you want more time at the pool or less time?
More.
Yeah, okay. I can agree with you. Yeah. How about days of summer?
More.
Yeah. Way more. Less. Okay, so for most of that stuff, more looks pretty good, right? I think that would be, yeah. But I also brought some other stuff. Your parents might not like your answer, but what about vegetables and green beans? More? Less? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So some mixed answers in there, too. It's better for you, yes, but usually we don't want as much, right? How about chores? More or less? Less, yeah. What about days of school? More, okay. I think I would say less to that, but liking school is good. You should like school. So a lot of things are kind of up and down. We have some things that are good that are more, some things that are good that are less, right? So did you know that more and less is talked about in the Bible? And so before I read it, what do you think that Jesus thought about more? You spend more or less time with
more.
Right. But what about thinking about ourselves? If we're thinking about ourselves over everything else, would Jesus to be more or less?
Less,
right. So let's see what it says. I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 30 and 31. And this is John speaking. He says, "He," which means Jesus, "must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else." Right, so it says right there that must become greater. He must be more and more, right? And each of us, me and every single one of us in here, we need to become less and less because Jesus is so much greater than us. We need more of Jesus because, like it said, he's from heaven and above all, and less of us who are here on earth. How do we make Jesus greater? How do we get more of Jesus? Pray? Mm-hmm. Going to church? Yeah. What did I just read from?
Bible.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff is ways that we can make Jesus greater in our lives. And how do we make ourselves less and less? How do we do that?
Think about other people.
Think about other people, right?
Not be selfish.
Not be selfish. Exactly.
Listening.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So these are all things that we can do every single day, right? I think so. So let's try to think about that every day. Put Jesus, more of Jesus, and less of me. Can we do that? I think so. Okay, let's pray about it. Father, thank you for each of these children here. Thank you for each of the children who came to VBS this week, Lord, and just how evident you were this whole week. I just pray that with everything we do, that you will be more and more, and that we will be less and less. Help us to love you more and to love others more. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, if y'all want to come sing.
With all
guys come forward?
Imagine about 65 more up here. I don't think we need but one, do we?
Good job, kids and adults. Thanks for everybody that worked with them this week. Hymn number 613, The Servant Song. Let's stand as we sing.
Walk of my life, and the Lord.
you would, let me invite you to look at the insert with our prayer concerns there. I do know we want to add the name of Jackie Jones to our prayer list. Jackie is now dealing with cancer. I know many of us are continuing to remember for Cindy Johnson, who is also finishing up her chemotherapy. We continue to pray for Debbie and for Sarah McGehee, Debbie Hurley, and Sarah McGehee, as they will be. I think Debbie's going back tomorrow, and very soon Sarah will be going again. I do hope most of you got the phone tree yesterday, and you are remembering Cheryl Beauvais also in your prayers. Cheryl is still a patient at Western Wake and Cary. They did a CAT scan, I know, yesterday. They have discovered she does have pneumonia, and they will probably be treating her for some gastro stuff after she gets out of the hospital. But we want to be remembering her in our prayers in a very special way. And then also we ask that you remember Miss Lily Boyer. That is Linda Wilson's granddaughter. She is at New Hanover Hospital. She is suffering from a severe case of Crohn's disease and will actually be in the hospital for about a month receiving treatment and nourishment. We want to be remembering her in just a very, very special way. I know you prayed for our Bible school, and I am so thankful that God honored those prayers and the hard work and dedication as we were able to love on a tremendous amount of children, 80 children and about 16 youth here every day. It was an amazing week. I hope you'll continue to pray this week for our Kentucky mission team as we have the privilege to go and carry the love of Flat Springs. We carried a full trailer to the second poorest county in the nation of the United States of America to do ministry there. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, let us be that servant that we just sang about, to love each other. Thank you for those who demonstrated that this week, whether it was by leading music or helping with a craft or fixing a snack or teaching a class or being a faithful student here. And God, we pray that even as Becca gave us just a little glimpse of how immediately some of the truths that were taught already seem to be sprouting out seed, as the answers the children gave just remind us of how much your Spirit moves in them and how much they have to teach us. God, as we continue to worship you this day, there are people on our hearts and on our minds that we love dearly, but not as much as you love them. And so, oh God, we pray that you might bless as you know there's need, that you might strengthen where you know strength is needed, that you might share your love and grace where it could make such a difference and your comfort. And God, we pray in our nearsightedness always for your healing. And God, as we continue to lift you up and praise your name above every name and worship you as King of our life and master of our future and the hope of our eternity, may you receive our worship, for we offer it in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, choir. Isn't that a wonderful message that God looked beyond our fault and saw our need? Our text today is one of those human moments. You ever had that moment when you thought the cell phone was disconnected and it wasn't? Boy, I can see your faces and know you've been there. This may have been one of those kind of moments. By now you think they would have understood that Jesus was very perceptive. Our text is found in Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 33 through 37. Just a short little snippet, but a tremendous truth. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent. Because, or for, on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, oh, listen to these words. If anyone would be first, he must be last and the servant of all. And he took a child and he put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment today? For Lord, we want to receive you into our heart, into our mind, and into our life. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a tremendous moment in the disciples' life that Jesus saw as a teaching moment. Children, you may remember Art Link letters show that kids say the darndest things. I remember the story told about a child that walked up to the preacher at the end of morning worship and said, "Preacher, I got a $5 bill for church today for my birthday." He said, "That's great." He said, "Here, preacher, I want you to have it." Preacher said, "Son, I don't want your birthday money." He said, No, I want you to have it." He said, "Son, I really don't want your money." He said, "No, I insist, preacher, I want you to have it." Well, son, why do you want me to have this $5? He says, "Because my folks say you are the poorest preacher on all the earth, and I just want you to have this. I've still got that $5. Motivation. Children, they don't sugarcoat much of anything, do they? And yet, they're learning it all. It was so amazing each morning this past week when I would just see them come in. Every one of them different. Every one of them different. Every one of them with bright eyes. Okay, some days they had sad eyes. Some days they weren't real happy. Mom had left them. Some days they weren't excited about what was right around the corner. But at some point, those eyes, those child, in their case, not childlike, those child eyes that were seeing more than just what I could see, hearing more than what I could hear, they were listening. We live in a society that says greater, greatest, being the best, having it all, going for the gusto. We were talking with the mission team yesterday morning before they left. We met for a time of prayer. And in that gathering time, it was mentioned that someone had seen, and it may have been a beer commercial, imagine that, or a beer advertisement at a ballpark. But there was a sign advertising whatever the item was, and it said, "Live life without any filters." Live life without any filters. And I made the summation, well, let me go find some of the most nasty, dirty water I can possibly find and offer them a glass and say, "Here, enjoy this without any filters." And yet, you and I, that's the message of the world. Live life with no filters. Don't let anybody tell you anything. Don't let anybody stop you anywhere. Be all you can be. Try to be the greatest in your own mind. In your own mind, be the greatest you can possibly be. And so every morning we wake up with that challenge. Either to put it aside and say no. Oh, as the children were saying, did you hear? Oh, I wish we'd had them mic'd. When she said, "How can you be less?" And one immediately said, "Think of others first." I said, "Amen." That's not what the culture teaches us, is it? Jesus had that great understanding. He knew what the disciples meant. It made sense for them because they had sold out to the kingdom. They were the best church members going. They were here every time. They had given up everything. They had deserted their livelihood to go and follow Jesus. And so they had that normal thought, "Well, wonder where I'll be when our heyday comes." Sometimes we can think the wrong thing about the right thing. The challenge when Jesus asked who was the greatest was a challenge they really weren't up for. Do we sometimes ask the wrong question? In 1986, the Daily Bread published this statement: pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. It's true, isn't it? Pride makes everyone sick. Pride even makes us sick, but so often I think one of the tricks of the devil is he doesn't let us understand that some of the things we might be thinking and doing are out of our own pride. Now, the greatest oxymoron in all the Bible, and it has been going on as long as the Bible has been. You can go back and read it all the way back from Genesis forward. Is the more God blesses us, the more we turn our backs on God. The more God gives us, the more God is good to us, the more we take that goodness and use it for someone else. Have you ever asked the wrong question? Have you ever worked with somebody, or maybe if you are you had people work under you, have you ever had an employee that always seemed to ask the wrong question? Why do we have to do it that way? I don't understand why we have to go over there. I don't like that way of doing it. I think I know a better way. Do you like that employee? Have you ever had an employee who would say, I have but two questions. What do you need me to do? How can I help? When we come to God, now listen, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say come to the preacher, because I'll work you to death, you know. You might be asking, why are we doing it this way when you come to me? But when we come to God, sometimes the questions we bring to God about why and I don't understand, maybe the questions we need to be bringing to God are, how today, oh God? In the midst of whether it's good or bad, whether it's great or whether it's tragic, how today can I serve you? Jesus said that if we were to become greatest, we must be last and servant of all. I wonder today, how does the Holy Spirit need to challenge our thinking? If you've been watching TV about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you are keenly aware, because it was news everywhere and conversation everywhere, that Muhammad Ali had passed away. And I remember as a kid listening to those fights on the radio, listening when he fought Joe Frazier and George Foreman. It was a big deal back then, the heavyweight champion of the world. He would proclaim to the world that he was not only the greatest, but he was the greatest of all time. And I began to think about that. We have that same mindset, that same challenge in our way of life. The Bible says that pride goes before a fall. And sometimes our pride may not even seem like pride to anybody else. But just the decisions we make about how we spend our time, how we spend our energy, sometimes we don't allow that servant of all mentality, but instead we allow the I'll be the greatest I can be mentality to do it all. Not only did we need to understand the challenge, we also need to understand that a change must occur, because Jesus, he radically, we might say, he with silliness redefines greatness. Today, if we really want to change our lives, then, and if we want to change our homes, then we too must redefine what success is and what greatness is. It seems to me that the church in many ways is being crowded out by the fact that God has blessed us with so much. We have so many opportunities. And it seems like all of my life, Whenever there was an opportunity between the world and the church always gets the short end of the stick. I don't know why that is. I think I understand, and I'll give you my reasoning or why I think it is. I must also say before I give it to you, I don't agree. I think we think, well, we're always going to be in church. We're going to be in church forever. And this event or this opportunity only comes around for a little short time. So it's okay. It'll be okay because we'll be at church later. And yet when I read the great saints throughout history, they are the ones who dedicated themselves not periodically but completely to the Lord. Those saints like Mother Teresa, like Billy Graham, that we have set aside, we see those who seem to be full-time, all the time, overtime, loving the Lord. Instead of using our definition or the world's definition, what if we use God's definition? What if we were to define what it means to have a great family by God's definition? A place of service, a place of servanthood, a place of putting others first. It would change some things, wouldn't it? Do you understand why God asked us to do that? I wonder if sometimes you might sit and think, well, why does God want us to be miserable? Why does God give us all these great opportunities, and then He just wants us to give them all away and be sacrificial and not do what we could do? You ever thought about that? It's not that God wants to underestimate us or underuse us. Instead, I want you to understand something. I was reading C.S. Lewis's The Problem of Pain in This World, and he made an observation that had nothing to do with pain, but it got me to thinking. He said, have you ever wondered why there's so many personalities? Are we all alike in this room? I don't see. I know most of you. And you aren't like anybody I've ever met before. And I've met some folks. And I mean that in a good way. You ever wonder? And Lewis, he says, God made so many individual personalities. Every one of us are different. And we bring a different set of gifts and a different understanding and a different sense of humor and a different sense of logic. Some of you need to work on that. A different sense. Lewis concludes that in God's ultimate plan, there's a spot in that plan for each of us. And he concludes that if it wasn't that way, we'd all have the same personality. And if y'all all just had my personality, wouldn't this be a great... Never mind. But if your personality and my personality and your personality and your personality, you got to hear what I'm fixing to say. If you don't hear anything else, because I got to say it. If those personalities are under the lordship of Almighty God, and they begin to work together in such a powerful way, the church becomes not a thing we go to, but it becomes part of who we are. And it begins to flow from us in ways that the world will be caught. It's contagious. It's life-changing. The problem is we take that gift of God, our personality, our ability, our logic, our talent, our ingenuity, our creativeness, our curiosity, and we do it without God. Now, we've come up with some good things. I'm fixing to get in an automobile and drive 414 miles and be back Thursday. If it wasn't for somebody figuring out how to make a car, I guess Henry Ford, I couldn't get to Whitley City and back by Thursday on my feet. We've come up with some stuff. We thought of some stuff. We've invented some stuff. And some of it's been good. But not all of it. Because that same ingenuity that gets me into a car that will get me to Whitley City and back can also be used to transport terrorists with dynamite in their vehicle to the middle of an arena and detonate it and kill hundreds, thousands of people. Airplanes are wonderful to travel unless you fly them into buildings. You see, we've come up with some stuff because God has given us the ability. God has created us in such a way. But he says, you've got to let me be the Lord of your thinking, because if you're the Lord of your thinking, and if you don't understand I created you to be a servant to all and to love everyone and to care for everyone, then you'll start saying, how can I use this for my good? What can this do for me? And as a result of that, we're going to end up with war and prejudices and greed and dishonesty and hatefulness and murder and disasters. God created us and he gave us those abilities, but we've got to bring them under the Lordship. Can you imagine a world in real peace? Look at what Galatians 5:22 says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's when you brought your life and all your abilities and all your wonderful characteristics and your personality under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I believe not only will we have an important role to play with our uniqueness in heaven, we have a unique role on this earth when we're under his Lordship to make a difference. The change is so important. It's so important. And I end today with where I needed to start, a child. The metaphor of a child is so important. You may remember the famous writing by Robert Flugelman, most of what I really need to know about in life, I learned in kindergarten. I learned to share. I learned to play fair. I learned not to hit people, to put things back where you find them, to clean up your own mess, to not take things that aren't yours, to say you're sorry if you hurt somebody. When you go out in the world, to look both ways in traffic, to hold hands. Stick together. The greatest will be when we become like a child. We'll become like a child and we'll begin to see and remember. You know, when we're children, we're ready to grow up. We're ready to get a driver's license, aren't we, Peyton? We're ready. She took driver's ed this week. And we're excited about what I can, you know, and it, I kind of live it vicariously because I can remember, but I don't think of it. I jump in my car every day. Every day I'm in that thing. And I don't think, man, this is cool. I'm thinking, how quick can I get where I need to be? And the thrill of driving is gone for me. But getting from A to B, that's where it is. But I remember my granddaddy taking me in an 88 Delta Oldsmobile. Y'all remember them? We got in the car and he took me off. He said, here. He stopped the car. He said, get behind the wheel. I was about 14 years old. I said, why? Why would we want to do that? He said, yeah, get behind the wheel. He said, I want you to drive. And I remember taking a big old white Oldsmobile, blue, little narrow steering wheel. You remember them? I mean, your fingers went all the way around. And I started driving. And I was driving just like this. Granny said, son, look down the road. And I thought, look down the road? We're right here. I do not want to look down there. I am taking nothing for granted. No, sir, I'm looking right there. That's where this car is going. Son, you got to look down the road. You got to look down the road. You got to look down the road. I remember taking a glance down the road and saying, oh gosh, I need to look right here. But then a second glance, and then a third glance. Then it connected. But you know what? I can use this illustration anyway. I can tell you it's good to look down the road. But I can tell you as a child that sometimes just looking straight in front of you, that's what God calls us to do. In Grief Share, we've learned an important truth that sometimes when you don't know what to do, you do the next thing. And sometimes when you're walking with God, you may not know what God wants you to do next. You may not know what the big picture is going to be. You may not know how it's going to turn out 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years from now. But you do know this. Do the next thing. Do the next thing. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, kindness, loving, patience, self-control. Children, oh, they want to teach us so much when we want to hear what they have to teach us. As I bring this message, I read this story and it bothered me when I read it. Didn't make the first three cuttings of the sermon, but it made it in the last one. Because I think it tells me what I experienced here in Vacation Bible School this week when I began to see as children see. Sika was her name. And she asked at age 4 with her parents because they had a new baby boy. She said, I want to have some alone time with my baby brother. Well, new parents thought, that's not a good idea. That's not a good plan at all. And so they resisted, but over and over. And they knew, they just sensed something was special about the moment. And she kept asking, I need some alone time with my baby brother. So finally, and his parents do, creating a little loophole to make sure everybody would be safe, they gave it. So Sika went into her baby brother's room and shut the door. But mom and dad, through a crack, were watching. They watched Sika walk quietly up to her baby brother and put her nose almost on his and say these words, baby, tell me what God feels like. I'm starting to forget. I'm starting to forget. Because I'm growing. And as I grow up, I leave that childlike thing that feels God's touch and feels God's fingers and feels God's arms. Oh, can you see Jesus taking that little child, holding him or her in his arms? Beginning to forget the touch of God. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that's forgotten. But we haven't. We haven't forgotten. And today, if you would be greatest, if you would be first, if you'd be the best, the most, humble yourselves. Adopt a servant's heart. And as was said in the children's sermon, be less by seeing others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment, those doors are going to open and we're going to depart. And we feel your spirit in this place right now. I felt it all week with the children here. But, oh Lord, it will be easy to forget between here and the car. Would you speak to us clearly right now? Would you challenge us in every area of our life where we have lost our childlike servant spirit, and inspire us to be like our Master? God, would you reach your arms out and touch us, lest we forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 606. This morning, if God is calling you to make some choice, some decision about your walk with Him, then our invitation and our encouragement would be for you to do so as we stand again. Again, we're so glad you were here today. Appreciate you being a part of that. I do want to add one person because she's going to be going, Miss Betty Lou is going to be going this week to another doctor. We've been praying for Betty Lou for a long time. She has been struggling with a tremendous amount of pain. And she moved my heart this week because she was here every day to teach her Bible school lesson. And so we just pray that God will use that trip. And we keep praying for God to offer a way through this difficult time she's been struggling with this pain. We're about to leave. We're going to go out into a world that needs us to be our greatest. And we'll do that by allowing God to be the greatest in our heart, our mind, our thinking, and our actions this week that He's ever been before. So as we leave, may we do so with God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place, for there is much to do outside. There are many who need to know you love them. Give us courage. Give us determination. Give us the unction that we need. Give us the power over procrastination. Give us the desire to go in your name and share your love. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ's love.